The biggest need in America, I believe, is for people in America. Because if we talk about America needs this or America needs that, what we really mean is people in America need this or people in America need that. And we might have any number of opinions as to what people in America the most need, but I believe right here is what people need is for Christians to hold forth the word of life. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." The Bible, as Psalm 103 verse 20 tells us, is the voice of his word. We do not need a booming voice from heaven to tell us what God is thinking. God has given it to us already in this precious word. People need to hear the word of life because they need to hear how I have eternal life. John 20 verse 31 says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." People need to hear how to have eternal life. So God wants us to have eternal life. God wants us to know that we have eternal life. God does not want us to go through life wondering and thinking, "I'm not sure if I have eternal life. I'm not sure if I'm going to go to heaven or hell." God does not want people to be in that condition, because uncertainty is fear, and fear hath torment. And God does not want people to be tormented. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." You can know that ye have eternal life. Jesus said, he asked a question. He said, "For what shall it profit a man?" Picture this. He's talking to people. And he says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So he's saying, look, you gain anything in the world, but you've lost your soul. You have nothing. You've lost everything. And he said, your soul is the most precious possession in the world. If you could know for sure you're going to go to heaven, how much would you be willing to pay for that, if it could be paid for? Well, think of this. Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Well, now picture this. Let's say he's just finished this oratory, and someone walks up and says, "Lord, I'm really bothered by what you said. You said, what shall it profit me if I shall gain the whole world and lose my soul? Well, how do I pursue that I won't lose my soul?" What would you think if Jesus said, "You know what? I really can't tell you. I'm not sure. There's really no way to be sure." Well, if there's really no way to be sure, why would he have made his prior statement? There is a way to be sure. But one common but mistaken belief is that you can't know for sure, but the word of God says otherwise. Another common belief is that you get to heaven by what you do. That's a very common belief, but it's a mistaken belief. It makes sense. You know, good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. The problem is, how do you determine with any certainty what constitutes good or bad? In 1978, I was in the Marines on mess duty at the El Toro Air Station. I will say this, I did not see any combat when I was in the Corps, but I got three things I desperately needed. One was a haircut, two was an attitude adjustment, and three, I heard how to be saved. I was on mess duty at the El Toro Air Station, and another Marine asked me if I were saved. I didn't know what that meant. He asked if I were going to go to heaven. I may have said something long enough, but I don't know, hopefully. Then he looked at me and said, "I'm going to heaven." I still remember thinking, boy, is this guy arrogant. How can you know for sure you're going to go to heaven? How can you think that you're so good that you're going to go to heaven? How could somebody think that? Well, the truth of the matter is, he wasn't being arrogant. He was being truthful according to God's word. He wasn't bragging. But I was under the impression, the mistaken impression, that you go to heaven based on what you do. One time I talked with a firefighter and an emergency room nurse about salvation, and I remember the nurse saying, "We save lives." And I don't doubt she did. She was probably a very good nurse, but you don't go to heaven by what you do. Heaven isn't by works. Heaven is by grace. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Even God give us the faith. "And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." First of all, we have to realize we're talking about an infinitely holy God. God is not called the man upstairs, okay? He is infinitely holy, okay? When we realize how holy he is, and as much as we can realize that, we realize how sinful we are. God is known as the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Isaiah the prophet said that angels would say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts," and the posts of the door moved at the voice, and they cried. And Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I am sinful. When Jesus was in Peter's boat, and he spoke, and then he told Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the draught. And if I'm not mistaken, he said, let down your nets, plural. And Peter said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net, singular. Well, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Okay? He would have been better off with more than one net. And Simon Peter saw it, and he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Oh, Lord. We realize that God is holy and we are sinful. The worst problem in the world is sin. I can't tell you how many times I've seen it in police work, and you've probably seen it too, whether you work in the safety forces or the military, how much damage sin does. Sin deceives. Sin hardens. The author of Hebrews told believers, But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin hardens the heart against God. Sin also deceives. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, Alcohol is a deceiver. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Three main problems that sin creates in people's lives. Problem number one, it separates people from a holy God. Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't say, For all have murdered, for all have sold drugs, for all have stolen, for all have committed adultery. It says, For all have sinned. Every one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we know we have sinned. And sin, number one, causes us to be short of the glory of God, which means we can't get into heaven on our own. Regardless of what we've done, any kind of meritorious deeds, we cannot get into heaven because of sin. Problem number two, sin condemns people to death. Romans 6:23, the first part says, For the wages of sin is death. So, if I see, number one, I've committed sin, I can't get into heaven. Number two, I'm condemned to death. Nobody's going to argue that they're not going to die. Everyone knows they're going to die. We may not know when, where, or how, but we know we will. But if we die without having our sins forgiven, we go to problem number three, that sin condemns people to hell. Revelation 20:14 says, And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. Sin, death, hell. God has already decreed the penalty for sin. But what if somebody took our penalty for us? The Bible says, I gave you the first part of Romans 6:23, but now I'll give you the second part, the good part, the hopeful part. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift. Okay? A gift. A gift is something you get from somebody who cares about you. A gift is something you get to keep for free. A gift is something you don't earn. They just give it to you because they care about you. And you keep it forever. And a gift is something valuable. And a gift is something somebody paid for. That was a gift. He didn't do anything for that. I just cared about him. Now, he might be leaning over and saying, Hey, Dad, we got to have this guy back. Okay? But, I mean, I wouldn't say you use that illustration quite a lot, but first of all, it's a gift. It was a gift. But it was valuable. I gave it to him for free. He keeps it forever. And it's valuable. Free. And he doesn't have to give it back. He doesn't have to earn it. He just got it. And somebody else paid for it. That's mine. It's either mine or Debbie's, of course. I guess ultimately it's mine, but anyway. But I didn't steal it, okay? All right. Now, God has a gift he wants to give to people a lot more valuable than a dollar. That gives eternal life. But somebody else paid for it. Jesus didn't pay for it with money. He paid for it with his life. You see, something had to be done about our sin. That's where Jesus comes in, God the Son. The Bible says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Picture this. Now, think of that. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, let's say I committed my first sin at the age of, let's say two. I stuck my tongue out of my sister, whatever it was. And my last sin, that whatever age I do, that whole thing, that's going to be like hundreds of thousands of sins, right? But the Bible says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. I may not understand that, but I can accept from the Bible that it's true. You don't have to necessarily understand something completely, but you can accept if it's true if you've got enough evidence. That's what God's word said. Okay? And when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible said, he said before he died, he said, it is finished, which means the price on sin has been paid. But he didn't stay dead. He was buried and he rose again. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. He's alive right now. He can hear what's going on. He knows what's going on in my heart. He knows what's going on in your heart. We cannot see him, hear him, or touch him. Peter said that to believers. He said, Jesus, whom having not seen, ye love. I have no idea what Jesus looked like. We don't know what Jesus looked like. But you know, I know he's somebody real because the Bible says he's somebody real. And I know he died for my sins because the Bible said. And he also said, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And the greatest thing that ever happened to me when I came to Jesus in repentance and received him by faith as my Savior, I put my trust in him to forgive me my sins and save me, and he did. And now I know for sure I'm going to heaven, just like my buddy on mess duty said. And it's not because I was a Marine, not because I'm a cop, not because anything else. It's because by God's grace. Okay? Christians need to hold forth word of life because people need to be saved. Christians need the word of life too. Christians need the word of life. The word of life help you grow. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The Bible will make you strong as a Christian. John the Apostle wrote, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Do you ever feel your faith is kind of lacking? Well, you read the Bible more, because the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's not just for going from unsaved to saved. That's for Christians to grow too. So then faith cometh by hearing. The more we read it, the more we hear it, the more we grow. And let me touch on this too. People in public office, people in the military, people in the safety forces need the word of God because it is the word of God's grace. It is called the word of his grace. Let me tell you right now, I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard it say, oh, you can't be a Christian on this job. Oh, really? Okay. Well, let me see. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, I need help. I need grace. I need strength to live as a Christian, as a cop, or as a firefighter, or as a soldier, or airman, marine, sailor. All right? I need God as an elected official. Oh, my goodness. Oh, really, that's such a toxic environment for elected officials. Honestly, it's no accident. God tells us to pray for elected officials. He said that we should pray for kings and for all that are in authority. I'll pray for them. Okay? But God will give you grace to live for the Lord. Okay? Either God's telling the truth or they are. Can't be one or the other. Yes, you can live for Christ in the safety forces. Yes, you can live for Christ in a political environment. Yes, you can live for Christ in the military. Now let's talk about holding forth the word of life. And I want to share with you the word of life. Okay? I want to give you God's word. I don't want to just give you a bunch of goofy police stories, okay? They may be kind of entertaining, kind of funny sometimes, but honestly, that's not what's going to help you. I want to give you God's word because God's word is going to help you. All right? First of all, holding forth word of life. If you know Jesus as your Savior today, you need to hold forth word of life. First of all, it's simple obedience to the Great Commission. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let me ask you this. Do you love Jesus today? If you love him, obey him. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me. It's simple obedience. Number two, Jesus wants people to be saved. Think of this. When Matthew 9, he said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Look at people in the mall. Look at people on the highway. Look at people on the street. Don't look at the outward appearance, okay? You'll be tempted to look at the way they dress, or the way they carry themselves, or the way they present their bodies, or what they do with their hair, okay? Look past that. You know why? Because the Lord looks past that. The Lord looketh on the heart. God looks on the heart, okay? It will help when you hold, when you say, I'm going to make holding forth the word of life a part of life. I'm going to make witnessing a part of my life. You are holding forth the word of life. And you will learn to look at people like Jesus looks at them. Holding forth the word of life can be scary. But the more you do it, the less scary it is. Isaiah 41:10, God said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." You might be scared to witness. I'm scared to hand out a tract. People may yell. People may snap at me. Okay? I've never been on visitation or witnessing. I've never been bitten. I take that back. I've been bitten once by a dog, but not by a person. Okay? People don't bite. You might be surprised that you really won't get the hostile reaction you're expecting. And once you do it a little bit, they do a bit more. "Hi, I'm Brian Miller. I'm from Fairhaven Baptist. Here's an invitation. You plant a seed. Maybe next time you're a little farther. Hi, I'm Brian Miller. I'm Fairhaven Baptist. You have a church you go to? Okay, well, if you don't, we'd like to invite you." The more you do it, the more you get used to it. The more you get used to it, the less fearful you are about it. Holding forth the Lord of life will help you watch your behavior. Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Okay, your conversation, that is, I believe it refers not just your words, but your conduct. I would not someone to see me and say, "Well, you go to Cleveland Baptist. That's a lousy example for Cleveland Baptist." I'm sure most of you feel the same way about Fairhaven. When you make holding forth the word of life part of your life, you'll be more aware of your personal conduct. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Okay? So if I'm hanging on to sin, God's not going to bless. God's not going to hear my prayer. I don't want to be not right with God. I'd rather be not right with people than not right with God. I couldn't say, "I'm going to find myself confessing sin." Well, okay, fine. But that's what it takes. I can't be not right. I can't be harboring sin. Holding forth the word of life is the only thing that matters in eternity. Okay? We love America. We thank you all your safety forces, your military people. But honestly, they only last until the end. Think of this. The Bible says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." Everything is going to end that's earthly. It's not going to matter how much rank I attained. It's not going to matter how many commendations I got. It's not going to matter how much overtime I made. It's not going to matter how many arrests I made. It's not going to matter how many tickets I wrote. And yes, I mean, I was glad for God's grace. But you know, in the bottom line, the only thing that's really going to matter is how much we held forth the word of life. We had an evangelist, come at our church one day. He was a 6-degree black belt in karate, and of course he gave a demonstration. It was cool. But during his message, and he was preaching in his karate uniform, and he's like, "You know what God really thinks of my black belt?" He takes it off. That's okay. It really doesn't matter. The most important thing that matters is that we hold forth the word of life. Holding forth the word of life will bond you with others who are like you. So you want to be with other people who like to hold forth the word of life. You know, I can't tell you how far back I remember, but my closest social contacts weren't with other cops. They were with people from church. And people from church would go out on visitation because we'd go out and witness. We'd tell people about Christ. People in the bus ministry, because that's what we do. You know, why? I believe if you saw after David killed Goliath and Jonathan loved him as his own soul, why? I believe because David and Jonathan were cut out of the same cloth. They both loved God. They both loved Israel. They were both brave. Because Jonathan, if you look in 1 Samuel 14, had gone into a battle, I believe was every bit as dangerous as David's battle against Goliath, because he and his armor bearer were outnumbered 10-1. So Jonathan sees David, and he's like, "Yeah, this guy is neat. I like him." Okay? You learn that iron sharpeneth iron. We hang around with other people who witness. Holding forth the word of life is the most important thing you could do. I know a guy, there's a buddy of mine, I don't know if he's ever served in the military, I don't know if he's ever served any kind of high adrenaline type job, but he's honestly one of the neatest people I know. His name is Bill. He's about 6'2", slender, and does not have good health. But he may still be a teacher, I'm not sure, but he would do vacation Bible school, and I remember the one night long after he had to have his part of his leg amputated due to diabetes. And I still remember him in church saying, that during the vacation Bible school, he was sitting at home holding his wife's hand and crying because he couldn't be at vacation Bible school ministering the kids. It'll change you. You know, holding forth life will change you. It'll make you more like Jesus. You may think, you know, I really don't care that much about souls. Okay, then start going on visitation. Start going, get into a bus ministry. Do something where you're going to reach precious people. Do that. Please do that. It's going to make the change. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you're not really on fire for souls, it'll help you to be, because you're going to see that. Okay? I'm out of time, but I close with this, if I may. The worst thing you could do is not be a witness for Christ. The worst thing you could do. We had a man who was actually shot by vice officers. He was lying there dying. But I didn't realize that. And as he lay, he said, "Roll me on my back." And I should have realized he was really badly hurt. And it could have and should have been an easy time to witness, to say, "Look, you really hurt bad." And by the way, I'm not going to have time to pull up my Romans row, out the Romans row and say, "Look, if you call on Jesus to forgive you for sin and save you, you will." It should have been a very easy thing to do, but I didn't. Why? Was I afraid of what my fellow officers would think? I mean, he just fired on them, as I recall. Why? For whatever reason, I didn't. And then I saw his eyes rolling back in his head, and I realized he was about to go into eternity. But then the medics started coming up on working on him, and it was like it was too late. I had the opportunity, but I blew it because I was too much of a coward. That's one thing. If you're in the military and the safety forces, you don't ever want to be called a coward. But you know what? I should have witnessed to him. I didn't. And that bugs me to this day. Whatever you do, please don't look at it. Please hold forth the word of life. Okay? Please do that. I'm going to close. Pastor Damon. Whoop. Okay. Thank you very much.